It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. You can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. and on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And if there is a fourth method in which you are listening to this station, well, good for you. All right, Austin Price, Woody Waters here in the studio with you as always. And Woody, I got to say, I was amazed, not just by the Alabama performance, but by your reaction to it. I mean, there was a pink cloud that floated in. You were just graciously sitting there kicking your feet on. Oh, you were just elated. Alabama with one of their most complete performances of the year, 42-13 in Death Valley.
Well, it truly was, but I don't call it Death Valley. I call it Bryant Denny West.
Okay. So. Well, you know what? It is. After 42-13, when this was supposed to be a potentially not just SEC, but playoff-indicating game, and honestly, I'm going to give a dated reference here, it gave me some like Super Bowl 48 vibes. Oh, you know, you had the Broncos and Seahawks, best offense, best defense, 43-8 later, and we're just sad and there's chip dip on our shirts. That's kind of how this game felt. And I do. It was 42-6, Alabama. I always criticized them for having a slow start in some of their games. Did not have one here. Had their most productive first quarter in weeks. And LSU, dare I say, just looked out of their element.
Yeah, they did. But I thought Alabama played probably their most complete game of the year. I mean, on both sides of the ball.
For sure.
Defense was great. They took advantage of what LSU gave them on the offensive side, and I just think it was a total complete win for the team.
Yeah, and I personally, I'll go ahead and say this now, I feel, and I'm not trying to jinx anything, but I think this kind of confirms what we already knew when it came to whether Alabama would win this game, and that is now that you've won it, you kind of control your own destiny. I do feel that that is true.
That is true. Yep. Game by game now. It's back in Alabama's hands. They can control their own destiny.
Yeah, number 10 in the country ahead of a couple of what are supposed to be contending SEC teams, and we'll touch more on them later. But it is. It's a very big win for Alabama because I think it proves – I know we've talked about LSU, and I've made fun of him because I've said the whole Brian Kelly effect and all that, but he's still a good coach. I give him a hard time, but he's a good coach. Death Valley is supposed to be arguably the toughest place to play in America, and with rivalry implications, you're expecting the game to be all the tighter. So to see a matchup like this, I think it says less bad about LSU and more good about Alabama, and they've officially won me over. And I do. I look at this as being – resume defining because your other biggest wins as far as dominance were Wisconsin and Madison. They're not as good of a team. It's not as tough of a place to play. You shut out Missouri, but that was in Tuscaloosa. They were hurt on offense. Your biggest win as far as caliber of opponent up till now has been Georgia, but you blew a 28-0 lead, and that was also at home. So this, it, by those criteria, looks like the biggest win for Alabama. And typically, I talk about negatives, but I don't really have anything. I mean, we've previously criticized them for the slow starts, but I already addressed that. They came out swinging. They had no turnovers. LSU had three, so they had a very level-headed offense, very capitalistic defense. They had more yards, went 10 for 13 on third downs. That is controlling the flow of the game, and LSU can't stop a breeze. You led time of possession by almost 8 minutes.
Yep. And Alabama, from my perspective, played with very much all type of discipline, and they showed that they played as a unit on both sides of the ball, and they played more typical Alabama football than we've seen all year.
Yes, and if I did have to give one criticism, this should be no surprise. If you've been listening at any point throughout this season, first of all, happy to have you. Secondly, you should know what I'm going to say here. Discipline. You tied them in the number of penalties. You both had 7. But theirs were for less yardage. And it clearly didn't affect this score this week. But we're going to be in games where there is all the bigger of implications. There are all the tougher of opponents. There is all the less room for error. And we're just regurgitating the same stuff every week. You have to get better at that. You can't have the nonsensical stuff. Seven penalties, I think it was for 74 yards. If I have that figure correctly in my head, that's over 10 yards of penalty. We're not we're not racking up false starts here. That's some punitive stuff. So you got to get that under control, even when it's in a place like Death Valley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That, and that's things they have to continue to work on. But it was a total positive image to me from how they played and how they played, you know, the next play.
Yeah.
And I was very well pleased in what I saw.
Yeah, you're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price, Woody Waters here with you. All righty, looking at the impact players, there's only one. and I am so proud of this young man. Jalen Milroe. On the passing end, he didn't do much, but he didn't need to. He threw 12 for 18, over 100 yards. On 12 passes, I don't think that's too bad, maybe. But, I mean, it seems like a shorter game. But this just overall is his image as a dual-threat athlete. This was huge. Got some of his rushing stats here for you. He ran for 185 yards on 12 carries. So he had as many carries as he did completed passes. That should tell you all you need to know. He averaged 15.4 yards a carry, 4 touchdowns.
It was amazing. I mean, he is probably the fastest quarterback as far as once he
takes off
with it because the guy's got unbelievable quickness and unbelievable speed.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's unbelievable. You and I even said before we went live, because we always give ourselves just kind of a refresher. And you said it yourself. Well, running game, passing game, didn't need to do much because Jalen just kept it for himself, and that's all we needed. LSU couldn't stop it anyway. I think that makes this not just a big game for Alabama and their playoff hunt and all that, but this is a pivotal game for his legacy, because I don't care what people tried to say last week or the week before about, well, hypothetically, a 3-loss team commit. Shut up. Let's not get that in. I do feel this was a make-or-break game, and Jalen stepped up big time after weeks of being kind of more of a questionable character. So that's huge for that dual-threat athlete there. I mentioned this a moment ago. Rushing game didn't do much outside of Jalen. Jim Miller and Justice Haynes are the two we always talk about. Let's see. They had 61 yards on 21 carries. That's combined. Each of them averaged 2.9 yards. And neither ran for further than 8 yards on a single touch. Just to remind the class, Jalen Milroe averaged over 15 on 12 carries.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think Haynes had a touchdown, too. But
he did.
But you didn't need to hand the ball to those two very much.
Right. And on the receiving end, Jam Miller was, funny enough, the leading receiver. He had 50 yards. Jeremy Bernard and Ryan Williams are the names we always expect to hear, but it's becoming increasingly obvious that Bama won with just Milroe, it seems like. Him and his O-line, I guess. As Bernard and Williams combined for 3 catches, 28 yards, and mind you, Ryan Williams had 29 yards. Jeremy Bernard had 1 catch for -1 yard. Williams also had what was officially a 22-yard carry, so I guess he did more statistically than meets the eye. Good for him, I suppose. But, yeah, very limited impact, but that's not a knock on Bama. It's just because you didn't need him.
No.
And if you can beat this team on the road that badly with one player, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and I think that was more or less the game plan going in. I think Alabama wanted to basically run the football, and that's what they did.
Indeed, that is what they did. I look at Alabama here, and I see, as I said, I believe that they do control their own destiny. Being ranked number 10, I'm kind of surprised they're not higher. I did see that Miami is still ahead of Alabama. I don't know how I feel about that. I know Miami only has one loss, but they haven't played anyone, and it was to Georgia Tech, who's unranked. And mind you, this is after weeks of Miami wheelchairing their way out of every game that they played. So I'm not thrilled about that, but I do think nonetheless it's a pretty strong ranking, especially to be ahead of Ole Miss and Georgia, who were supposed to be fellow contenders in the Southeastern Conference.
I think, you know, I agree with you on that, on those comments, but I think Alabama's where they want to be right now.
Yep.
If they continue to take care of business week by week, when the end of the year gets here and the selections are made, I think Alabama will be where they need to be.
Well, and I agree. I think if there was anything that implied or that could imply that Alabama would not make the playoff, it would be this Georgia-Tennessee game coming up. Because Tennessee, if we've learned anything, is that the playoff committee really cares a lot about putting teams ahead if they beat you on the field. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia. They're both ahead of Georgia because they both beat Georgia. If Georgia beats Tennessee, that would clearly get back in the committee's good graces. They're already holding them by a thread there, but if Georgia gets a huge win here, that'll regain some of their confidence. But also, Tennessee would have two losses. Logic dictates they would be ahead of Alabama because they beat them head-to-head. So it's a matter of if Tennessee has a close loss in Athens, could they stay above Alabama, and could that be a problem? But at that point, man, we're splitting hairs. We're looking weeks ahead. That's not anything that we're going to – that's not a rabbit hole that we're going to climb down just yet.
Yeah.
Right now, Alabama's sitting pretty, and that's all that matters. All right. Speaking of sitting pretty, next up, and we'll talk more about this in a couple minutes, but next up is Mercer. I'm going to tell you right now, my friend, if Mercer were to ever beat Alabama, it would be this year. I want to give a bit of a lead in to Mercer before we go to break. They are 9-1. Does that intimidate you at all?
No.
He didn't blink. He didn't even look at me when he said it. Just no hesitation. No. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I am going to tell you why Mercer may be a threat. And I even have, and this was official on ESPN Pensacola, we had a prediction that Alabama genuinely is on upset alert here. So we've got details on that stuff and more right here on the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a win. Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Family adventures start at Legendary Marine on Bayou Chico for the first ever Boatvember Festival, Saturday, November 23rd. All day for a family-friendly day of fun on Bayou Chico. Games, face painting, food trucks, local vendors with holiday gifts to purchase. Find favorite boaters' gifts in the newly remodeled ship store with 20% off that day. Boat rides, hay rides, and a bounce house. Did you hear boat rides? Yes! Get on the water with Legendary Marine on Bayou Chico, 1220 Mahogany Mill Road.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Bamboo Willie's on Pensacola Beach Boardwalk is the place to go this fall to watch your favorite teams. With great live entertainment throughout all of November on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And 15 TVs featuring NFL Ticket, SEC, Big Ten, ESPN Plus, Prime, and NBC Peacock for viewing. Buckets of beer specials and football with a view at Pensacola Beach. Bamboo Willie's on Pensacola Beach Boardwalk. Visit BambooWillies.com for more. And you can find them on Facebook.
The Big Bamboo!
Did you know Pensacola's hidden gem is powering the future? The Port of Pensacola isn't just a name. It's an economic engine driving our region's success. Home to over 20 powerhouse companies like C-Mex Materials, General Electric, Verona Wind Energy, and the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. This port is fueling growth and prosperity every day. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the backbone of Northwest Florida's economy. Discover how it's shaping our future at portofpensacola.com.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you we could help you reach your audience while they're at a sporting event? Let ADX Digital help you connect to your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with us today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Hurricane season is here, and when the next storm approaches, you'll want to tune into our sister station, News Radio Pensacola, your source for the most up-to-date and accurate hurricane and severe weather coverage. News Radio Pensacola will have wall-to-wall coverage of the storm, tracking its path, reporting on evacuations, power outages, and any damage to our community. They'll have the latest forecasts, emergency instructions, and updates on recovery efforts. Stay informed with News Radio Pensacola's comprehensive hurricane coverage, now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, online at newsradio923.com, or on their mobile.
Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night. 318! This is your home for every primetime NFL game. ESPN Pensacola.
Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you. You can listen to this show. If you're not listening to it now, first of all, unlucky you, you're missing out. But second of all, you can go to our local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com and find all of the shows we've done this season. Not only that, but I got to tell you, you can also listen to us give this expert commentary on Mercer here. And I do not mean to pat myself on the back here. If I didn't already say it, Austin Price and Woody Waters are in the studio with you. But Woody, I don't mean to pat myself on the back. I look at this Mercer team, and I've done some thorough research on them. And I got to tell you, I look at this team, and I think that they're not going to beat Alabama. But if there was ever going to be a time, it would be this year. And let me give two reasons. One, Mercer is 9-1. They've got to be having what is one of their better seasons in recent memory. And they are coming off of a shutout road win, I think it was on the road, over VMI. And Alabama's riding high. You know, in Tuscaloosa, they're like, oh, man, easy pickings. And maybe Mercer says, not so fast. Do you think that happens?
No.
Well, you are in the majority because I agree with you, but so does everybody else. But, and I hate to name drop here, but I'm going to. Bill Clark from War Eagle Weekly, we do that show every Thursday morning, 10 to 11 on ESPN Pensacola. I asked him like three times on air if he was being serious, and he said he thinks that this is a game that Bama needs to look out for. And I do agree with him to an extent. Now, you know, when you hear Mercer, it's kind of become like a slur for FCS teams because Alabama's infamously played them before. So now you'll hear people say, oh, well, you're playing guys like Mercer. You know what I mean? Mercer's kind of become what Southerners think of with soft drinks. You know, they call everyone Coke. Well, now everyone, you know, they call all FCS teams Mercer. But I got to give the Bears credit where it's due. Their offense is very high-powered, and they, to give you some of the specifics on the stats here, they have scored over 30 points in 8 of their 10 games this season, including their last 5. The two games where they didn't break 30 were still wins, though. So they got to have what is one of the more high-powered offenses at the FCS level, and we always have to remember that that is against FCS competition. But I am all for, and this is why I think Alabama does need to circle this game, I am all for instilling the mindset of treating everyone the same and analyzing them the same. You need to analyze them as if they are your equals and they are facing your equals. That is why I highlight this game. Can you respect that?
I can respect that. But at the same time, Alabama has developed the leadership among some key players that I don't think they're going to allow that mindset on Alabama's side to happen. I think they're going to play every play as if they were playing a major team.
Right. And that is the absolutely it, my entire spiel there, getting on my soapbox and triumphantly talking about my Mercer analysis. That is why I did that, because I do. I'm serious about, we've mentioned it before, Alabama needs to treat everyone the same, don't overlook anyone, no matter how small. And I do strongly hope that that is the mindset that shines here when they face the Bears. And I think it's really going to shine on Alabama's offensive side, because not only was Jalen Milroe looking like prime Mike Vick, we also have to consider that Mercer's defense is quite flaky, dare I say. They gave up 15 points in total. They gave up 15 points against their first three opponents. Hey, that's great. You're playing lights out at that point. But then they gave up 21 to the Citadel. Then they only gave up 3 to Wofford and only 7 to Princeton. Okay, defense is back, baby. And then it decided it wasn't going to stop anything. They gave up 55 to Samford. They lost that game by 20 points. That's their only loss. They gave up 34 to Western Carolina and 31 to East Tennessee State. If we see an Alabama offense that is half as good as that, that what we saw in Death Valley, if we see that against that Mercer defense, you guys might break 90. Just saying. But they, as I mentioned earlier, they just shut out VMI. So we don't even know what type of defense we're going to get from Mercer here. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to be enough to stop the might of the Crimson Tide. Even when the Tide have underperformed at times this season, this is one of those games where we always hear about the difference in speed, the difference in athleticism, and that is going to shine here.
I think so. And I hope Alabama comes out early, takes care of business, and then we put – you know, second, third string guys, let them get some experience, more experience in playing time. That's my hope.
Right. Well, because when we do, when we talk about kind of exercising your depth a bit and riding high after a big win, you got the end of the season in sight, you've got your playoff path still open, you should try to not overlook somebody, but yeah, try to be like, okay, this is a game that is supposed to be winnable. This is a game that we certainly have the firepower to win. Let's just get out there and keep doing what we're doing. And, yeah, let's get out there, take control early, just like we did against LSU, hopefully all the more so than we did against LSU, and bring some of the depth guys in, let them get some reps, so we as a unit can focus all the more on Oklahoma and Auburn. We're going to have depth players that are all the more prepared just in case they need to step in, and we are going to be riding as high and as healthy as we can.
That's true.
Yeah, going to Oklahoma right before the Iron Bowl is pretty brutal, even with Oklahoma having the year that they're having. And, of course, you can ask any Alabama fan. When it comes to Auburn, you said it yourself earlier to me this morning, it doesn't matter if Auburn's unbeaten or winless. That does not matter. They're going to play you tough. They're going to circle that game on their calendar every time, as they should. So yeah, that's going to be huge. I do think Mercer will put up a decent amount of points by the end of this game, at least relatively speaking. I'll tell you this much. I think they're going to put up more on Alabama than an FCS team has in years. Now, the bar could be 3 for all I know. I don't know how much we're talking, but I'll give my score prediction later. But if Alabama's offense, also known as Jalen Milroe, is half as good as it was last week, a different standard of play, quote unquote, wouldn't even begin to cover it. We're going to see a blowout here, especially when it comes to the Bears hit or miss defense.
I think so. I really do.
You're listening to Roll Tide Radio Show. The Roll Tide Radio Show. Excuse me. Every Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you. All right, we've got some time to work with here, so I wanted to discuss some of these other SEC topics before we get into the SEC slate that's upcoming. We've mentioned this before, but now I think it's all the more evident. The parity throughout the SEC. There are several two-loss teams now, and a lot of this is riding, and a lot of the fear of chaos in the SEC is riding on Georgia. Their perfection against everyone outside of Tuscaloosa has now fallen. This was a hideous loss to Ole Miss that they just took, 28-10. It's their first loss to an opponent not named Alabama since, I think, 2020 Florida.
Yeah.
So this is a huge, huge, and very sobering loss for the Bulldogs today in the polls. This is what I mentioned yesterday, and this is the big takeaway for people with this week's playoff rankings. If the playoff were to start today, Georgia wouldn't be in. They're ranked 12th. Boise State is 13th. Assuming Boise State were to get the Group of Five conference champ and move into an automatic bid, Georgia would be the first team out. What do you think about that?
Well, that's true right now. So Georgia is like Alabama was prior to LSU. Their backs are against the wall. They got to go game to game now.
Yep.
They've got to win them out, win them all, or else they're in deep trouble.
And people are probably sitting there thinking, first of all, if you're in Athens right now, first of all, I'm impressed that you're listening. Second of all, you may feel like you've got quite a target on your back. Because last year, the story regarding Georgia was, how are we unbeaten, defending champs, lose one game to Alabama by three in the conference title game, and get kicked out of the top four? Like, that was the story of Georgia last year. Now, this year, it's, hold on a minute, we were number three in the country, we lose to a high-ranked team in the toughest conference, and we fall to 12th? We wouldn't even be in the playoff today? Georgia has to feel like the committee hates them. But, as we mentioned earlier, Georgia's behind Alabama and Ole Miss. You wouldn't be behind those teams if you had beaten them.
That's true.
And, you know, the SEC, a lot of SEC fans out there typically try to pride themselves in, well, it's just so tough here. Anybody can beat anybody. And they think that's a title of endearment. No, it's not. Because this is what happens when you get a deep conference. This is what happens when anybody can beat anybody. You're going to have several teams floating around the bubble, and you might be the team that's left out. Georgia is now in that position. I could not agree more regarding your take on this is back up against the wall. You got to win. I told you before we went live this morning, but there was a playoff predictor that allegedly said Georgia has a 45% chance of getting into the playoff even if they lose at home to Tennessee. No, that is a lie, and even if it's not, treat it like it is. Don't let that mindset creep into your head. You got to win this game.
Yeah, and I don't think Georgia believes that.
They should.
Knowing Kirby. Because, I mean, prior to LSU, that was talk about Alabama being 9-3 and getting in. I don't think a 9-3 football team right now with where we stand record-wise with everybody else is going to happen.
No, and that's how kind of Feinbaum put it. I can't believe I'm quoting that guy and agreeing with him. But Paul Feinbaum even said, he said, I don't think we're in a position right now where we consider a 9-3 team, or any three-loss team for that matter, getting into the bracket, unless maybe that third loss comes in the SEC title game. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, if Georgia loses this game to Tennessee, they are out of that hunt for sure. You're going to have, I listed them to you earlier, Woody, what, six teams ahead of you in the conference rankings?
Yep.
You can't take this loss in that regard either, because then any chance of an automatic bid goes out the window. So Georgia, you got to lock in if you want to stay alive. But we'll give our predictions on that Georgia-Tennessee game and some of the circumstances surrounding potentially some missing talent in it when we return, because we always tackle our SEC games that are swirling around. And there are some pivotal conference games and some pivotal upset alerts. We will touch on that and more when we come back. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a win.
Green and tea.
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
This holiday season, you can give the gift of hope, stability, and a brighter future. Pensacola Habitat for Humanity is creating lasting change by providing affordable home ownership opportunities right here in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Together, they can change lives for generations to come. Your end-of-the-year gift not only builds homes, it builds hope. And with tax season approaching, it's a gift that gives back to you, too. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org and give today, because everyone deserves a place to call home.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. I've now practiced law for over 44 years. I'm proud to say that my three sons are my law partners. We have five offices throughout the Panhandle: Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, and Navarre. If you have been injured due to the negligence of another, call us at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
When you find out you're pregnant, everything changes. Every choice now impacts a child's future. Research has proven that smoking weed while pregnant can hurt babies. Cannabis passes through the placenta, leading to brain development issues, anxiety, poor academic performance, and physical problems at birth. Any use of THC while breastfeeding is also dangerous for babies. Your child or grandchild's future starts now. Don't put it at risk. Say no to marijuana while pregnant. This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. It's an AFC battle from Los Angeles this week when Justin Herbert and the 6-3 Chargers host Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Cincinnati comes in 4-6, but five of their losses have come by one score. Can they get over the hump against the Chargers team that's won three straight? Join Mike Golic and me to find out. Bengals and the Chargers on Sunday Night Football.
The Bengals take on the Chargers at 7 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. So whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
Tomorrow in college play, UWF takes on Valdosta State at 5:45 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you as per usual. All right, so Woody, when we left off, we were talking about some of the implications surrounding the SEC with some of the several teams that are sitting right on the cusp of the top 12 right now, and how the depth in the conference may actually end up being more its enemy than its friend, because now it's not looking like an excuse to struggle. It's looking more like a reason you be left out of the playoffs if you're someone that wears red and black and plays in Athens, Georgia. Anyway, we're looking at that situation, what all could go right or wrong this weekend for some of these teams, and I'm seeing a lot of upset alerts and a lot of make-or-break matchups, starting with number 3 Texas traveling to Arkansas. 35 years ago, this would have been one heck of a Southwest Conference game. Arkansas hates the Longhorns. Do you think maybe they can make a push here in Fayetteville and try to play spoiler maker to the Horns?
It's possible. I don't even know the spread.
13 for game. Texas.
It's possible. It's an early game. You know, away teams have typically had slow starts in early games. It depends on how Arkansas comes out of the gate, in my view.
Yeah, I think if Texas start, and this may be a game where Texas is thinking the same. Hey, listen, we gotta start cracking early. You know, really just no mercy. First half of this game needs to be in our control, just like the Florida game was. But speaking of the Florida game, I feel like that may have built some false hope for Texas. Texas was at home against that team that was whittled down to its third-string quarterback. And I just look at that and I feel like, okay, Texas is looking at their subpar play these past few weeks, and they hold it up next to the Gators win, and they're thinking, we're back! We're back. Now you go to Arkansas. As I said, because of the Southwest Conference ties, Arkansas hates you. Look out for the Razorbacks there. I think Texas wins, but that is an upset alert for sure because everything's pointing to it. Alrighty, Louisiana Monroe at Auburn. There was a time where this would have been an upset alert for me. ULM was 5-1. Their only loss was at Texas. They have since lost three straight, but they're still fighting for a bowl. Auburn has to win out to go bowling. Do you think Auburn gets caught looking ahead here? They've got Texas A&M and Alabama on the horizon. Or do you think Auburn just rolls right over these guys? They're currently favored by 25.5.
Well, Auburn can't look over them, that's for sure. If they do, they may have another L in their column. But, no, I think Auburn probably takes care of business.
I think they should. Even with this being ULM, one of their better seasons in years, and I don't even know the last time they would have started 5-1. So, I guess, thanks for coming out, Warhawks. But, yeah, no, I've got Auburn winning this game quite easily. And I've got them winning by more than the spread even indicates. I think this is a game for Auburn where they really need to try to stretch their legs a bit, really, you know, give it their all. So I think they'll make an example out of ULM. I think the score prediction I gave yesterday, 37-7, just standard stuff. This is going to be the most boring game of the weekend, and yes, I say that considering Alabama Mercer. Kentucky hosts 1-9 Murray State. Now, Kentucky, this is a breath of fresh air for them. They are also 3-6. They're just taking whatever the heck they can get at this point. I think we're both in agreement. Kentucky's got that one.
Would be shocked beyond belief.
We'd be giggling if Murray State won, but yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Alrighty, now this game has we were talking about some of the chaos that the SEC can unleash, and I think this one is one of those games, even if it's between two teams that don't have a realistic path. LSU goes to Florida. Now Florida is trying to put themselves in a position where they can go bowling. DJ Lagway may play. In Gainesville, rivalry game, hosting LSU. LSU, as I said, they may think they still have a playoff hunt. I'm here to tell them that they don't. That may be setting in for them. Do you think they are trying to send a message after being humbled by Bama, or do you think Florida kicks them while they're down?
I think Florida sees this as an opportunity to beat LSU, especially with Lagway. And I heard just a while back this morning that Lagway's going to play. He's been cleared. So how much he plays may depend on how, you know, Florida chances go.
Well, and I think Florida, if we have discussed anything as a recurring theme today, it's been talking about back against the wall. Alabama's back was up against the wall with LSU. Georgia's back is up against the wall with Tennessee. We'll get to that game in a moment. Florida, their back is up against the wall when it comes to facing LSU. They are looking for their fifth win. I firmly believe they'll beat Florida State in a couple weeks. So this could be the game that decides bowl eligibility for them, yeah. And I think that would completely validate Billy Napier and the people that are questioning should this guy stick around. If you can go bowling with this schedule and get a ranked win over LSU combined with wins over Kentucky and Florida State, I believe Florida would be sitting very pretty here. So I think they're going to give it all they got. But LSU is still favored by 4. I'll take LSU to win. But I just hyped up Florida for the past few minutes, but I'll take LSU. I think LSU is the better team, simply, and I think that will shine here. But it's not going to be some blowout. LSU will win, but it's not going to be some total 35-0. It won't be anything like that.
No. And should Florida find a way to win, you talk about some blowback against Brian Kelly.
I agree 100%. If they fall to 6-4 and lose to Florida, no, you're absolutely right. Because Brian Kelly, people are already calling for his head in the streets of Baton Rouge. All righty, number 23, Missouri, goes to number 21, South Carolina. Now, when you hear that, you may just be thinking, oh, well, this is a good pair. This is a good pair of teams here. This should be a decent conference game. Well, Elijah Drinkwitz, head coach of Missouri, is here to tell you, not so fast, buddy. This is everything. Because Elijah, after squeaking past that terrible Oklahoma team we hinted at earlier, made a remark saying that, yeah, we're still in the playoff hunt. You heard me right. Now, Dorkwitz, by the way. But I do think Missouri is trying to, and this is what I discussed on War Eagle Weekly yesterday. The discussion was maybe, okay, you know, Eli's probably just trying to hype his guys up, trying to keep their heads up, trying to keep that confidence, which is what a good coach should do. But I do think he genuinely believes that. He sees that Alabama has 2 losses, that Ole Miss has 2 losses, Georgia has 2 losses. They're all sitting up there. Well, we got 2 losses too. Yeah, the problem is they're 41-10 and 34-0, and you're currently sitting behind South Carolina in the rankings.
Plus, yeah, but I think South Carolina is playing probably at the top of their game right now. They've gotten it together.
Yes, absolutely.
I think they shellack Missouri.
You want to know a team that should be in the playoff hunt over Missouri? That's South Carolina. South Carolina has three losses, but they lost barely at home to LSU, and they lost barely at Tuscaloosa. So now when you look at those losses, you're looking at this. Who was their third loss? I can't even remember. I can't even remember who their third loss was. Well, we'll look into that. But if South Carolina finishes this season 9-3, those are two of their losses, and they have a blowout win over Texas A&M and a win over a ranked Clemson, South Carolina is going to be sitting here saying, hey, give me some sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. And I got off on a tangent about Elijah Drinkwitz running his mouth. Bottom line is, give me the Gamecocks. I got them winning. They're favored by 13.5. All right. Now, a game with actual playoff implications. Tennessee at Georgia. Tennessee number 7, Georgia number 12. Already talked about how Georgia would not be in the playoff if it began today. Georgia is 7-2. If they lose this game, I feel they are realistically out. But we've heard two players' names that are kind of swirling around. Heard this recently. Not only do we have that Nico Lama Ding Dong, who may be playing, may not. Seems like the reports are implying he may. That's Tennessee's quarterback, by the way. But then you've got Georgia's running back, Trevor Etienne, who may be sitting out. So we've got pivotal players on both sides that are looking pretty iffy today. Who do you have?
I got Georgia.
You got Georgia?
I got Georgia because I don't think Tennessee's quarterback's going to play very, very good if he plays at all. Because if he plays, I think Georgia's going to punish him.
Well, but see, the problem is, you want to talk about subpar quarterback play, we got to worry about Carson Beck. He's thrown 12 interceptions. He's gotten a lot of the heat over Georgia's struggling past few weeks. So, I don't know. I could see this being a very ugly game, if you just want the truth.
Yeah.
If Georgia's missing their leading rusher and both quarterbacks are playing subparly, whoever they may be, as you said, Nico may not even play, when you have those factors, I could see this being a tighter game. I could see it being a problem. Georgia's favored by 9.5. I think a lot of that is them being in Athens, and I have that being a difference maker as well. I think I took Georgia, 30-20. I think I had them by 10. So I have this being a competitive game, but I do have Georgia prevailing. I guess we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think along those same lines, I would agree with you. The only way I see it could be a blowout on behalf of Georgia is if Georgia's quarterback does, for some reason,
lay an egg.
Yeah. Lay an egg, or if he just takes off on fire and shows us what he hadn't shown us all year.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, quarterbacks can have a rebirth. Alabama knows that better than anybody. Yeah. Look at Jalen.
Yeah. So I think you're right in your score prediction. I think it's somewhere a 10-point or less in ball game.
Yeah, and honestly, we have to consider there's nothing that implies this from what I've seen, but we've talked about how a lot of these SEC teams are feeling more confident, feeling that there's more room for error in this 12-team era. So maybe Tennessee isn't coming into this game with the same fire that Georgia is. Georgia's thinking make or break. Tennessee may be thinking, hey, we can lose this and still get in. We got that win over Bama, and we're sitting seventh right now. We would have the same amount of losses as these other SEC teams. Maybe they're thinking it's not as big of a deal breaker, but if you have that mindset, you'll certainly lose. And then, man, it's a bummer. We were talking so much about that Georgia-Tennessee game that we have to end on such an anticlimactic note. Texas A&M, 7-2, they're hosting 2-7 New Mexico State. This is not the same New Mexico State that beat Auburn by 21 last year. If you want that New Mexico State, I'd recommend go look at that Vanderbilt team over in Nashville. Texas A&M, they're still in this thing too. We've been talking about some of the ones in the top 12. Well, Texas A&M's 15th. They've only got one conference loss. Their other loss is to Notre Dame. So they've got justifiable losses, quote-unquote, at least as far as the quality of foe, and they are sitting pretty still in the conference standings in the SEC. So, I guess the bow I'm trying to tie on this is Texas A&M is still in the playoff hunt, and they are going to decimate New Mexico State to remind us of that.
Yeah, I think they will win that game convincingly.
Yeah, they're favored by 39, officially, according to the spread. Now, I will say, I don't know if A&M's going to cover that. I mean, that's a pretty steep spread to cover, especially against a fellow FBS team. But who knows? Maybe they do. I mean, if they were able to beat Mizzou by 31, so what do I know? But all right. So we're looking at these here. We do have some upset alerts, some conference deciding games. I do think Georgia beats Tennessee, and I do think LSU survives against Florida, and I do think South Carolina proves what we already know. Missouri is not a playoff contender. All righty, that's the summarization that we got for you. You've been listening to Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. We will take one last quick break. When we return, we'll look at some of the other games that are swirling around the country. There are a lot of upset alerts there, too. We'll touch on that and, of course, give our score predictions on the highly anticipated Alabama-Mercer game.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a win.
Green and tea!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware and Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29. Looking for the perfect hangout? Tee Up Pensacola has you covered. Enjoy ice-cold beverages, delicious food, and indoor golf, all under one roof. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just looking to have a good time, their state-of-the-art simulators provide an immersive golfing experience on world-famous golf courses right here in Pensacola. Catch college football every Saturday or cheer on your NFL team every Sunday with the NFL Sunday Ticket. Make Tee It Up your go-to spot for football, golf, and good times. Visit TeeItUpPensacola.com for more and like them on Facebook.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. Trust your vehicle to the best auto service center in Pensacola, Bobby Likas Auto Service. For years, you've relied on Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway for maintenance and repairs, and now you have a choice. Keep taking your vehicle to the Davis Highway shop or go to their new location on Pensacola Boulevard, 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said, hey.
All right, gentlemen, this is Emmitt Smith on behalf of Depend, and I've got the perfect play. Run straight to your doctor's office for a life-changing catch. Because when prostate cancer is caught early, it's up to 99% treatable, and one blood test might be all it takes. And now through November, Depend is donating to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for select purchases. Talk about a great play.
From September 1st to November 30th, Depend is donating 40 cents to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for Depend Shield Guards RealFit products purchased in the U.S. up to a maximum of $300,000, void in Mississippi.
WWE superstar Alberto Del Rio, take one.
Behold the angry giant.
Try it again, Alberto.
Behold the angry giant.
Perfect. Good luck tonight.
Behold the angry giant.
Yay, read me another one, Dad.
This is WWE superstar Alberto Del Rio. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's weed, not alcohol. It just relaxes me. I'm a better driver when I'm high. I do it all the time, no problem.
THC reduces your reaction time by half a second, impacting your attention, coordination, and lane tracking. A delay of just half a second can be the difference between life and death. Stay alert, stay alive. Don't drive high.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Transportation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM is your home for the NFL primetime games on the radio. That's Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football. Also, be sure to catch the early games Sunday mornings when the NFL is traveling overseas.
So how do you know which games we're carrying?
Easy. Just follow us on Facebook, /ESPN Pensacola. ESPN Pensacola, all sports, all the time.
We'll be right back.
listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. You can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And you can find this episode and prior episodes of the Roll Tide Radio Show on the local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. All right. I'm Austin Price, joined by Woody Waters in the studio as always. And Woody, when we left off, we were talking about some of the very pivotal games that are swirling around the SEC this weekend, but there are also pivotal games in some of these other conferences nationally, and we'll start with this one because I think this is a real big one. Number 20 Clemson goes to Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh really fell out of public favor when they got killed by SMU, but also when they lost at home to Virginia. They are now unranked, but they host Clemson in this game. This can be pivotal in deciding an eventual ACC title contender, and if one of these teams were to somehow stumble in and win the ACC, well, then they would be in the playoffs. So this is actually very important. But with all that said, Clemson's a double-digit road favorite. They're favored by 12. Do you think Pitt proves them wrong, perhaps?
Possible. But Clemson is playing a lot better than they played at the beginning of the year. So, you know, That's two teams with both their backs against the wall. I just see Clemson winning that football game.
Yeah, these two teams have to worry about Miami and SMU, especially Pitt, because SMU ran them off the field. But Clemson, they have a it's now a ranked loss because Louisville beat them to get ranked. But Louisville beat Clemson in Death Valley by double digits. That is hideous, and it's disappointing when you look at how good, as you said, Clemson had been doing. So Pitt's not out of this, especially being at home, but I do have Clemson winning, and I have them covering that spread. I have them winning by 14. I got them winning by two touchdowns there. Alrighty, pivotal game in the Big 12, Arizona State at Kansas State. Both of these teams are 7-2, have two conference losses. Colorado and BYU ahead of them in conference play right now, but K-State, ranked team at home. Could the Sun Devils go into Manhattan and stun them? K-State favored by 7.5.
They could, but I'd put my money with K-State.
At home, I think covers a world of hurt. I agree with you. I did have K-State winning this game by 8, so I've really been on fire with the spreads, by the way. The score prediction I gave earlier this week was 38-30. Boise State, number 13, supposed to be the Group of 5 savior. They just struggled with Nevada. Nevada sucks. You know who doesn't? San Jose State. Well, San Jose State is bowl eligible, and they host the Broncos. Yet Boise State is favored by 14. Do you think San Jose State sends a message here?
Where is that game played?
It is in San Jose State at 6 o'clock.
Ooh. I think San Jose State's got for sure a chance.
Yeah, I do think Boise State struggles here. I do think this is decided by single digits. I'll take Boise State, though. They are a better team. They've got that Ashton Jeanty kid. Their offense overall, I think, is going to dominate this game.
I'm going to call an upset on that.
Oh, but so you are actually taking San Jose State?
Straight up.
Well, we know what we're breaking in next Friday with. My goodness. All right. Unless Alabama loses to Mercer, then we'll lead with that. Number one, Oregon goes to Wisconsin. Oregon, 10-0, and they struggled with Maryland more than I would have liked. At about like the 5-minute mark in that game, they were only up by 2 scores. I don't like that. Wisconsin is playing for a bowl, and Madison is a tough environment. Do you think Oregon can be tripped up here at all? Oregon's favored by 13.5.
It's very possible. Very possible. There's been some talk this week about Oregon's coach going to the pros.
Oh, really? Dan, yeah. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, I don't know whether that's going to be a distraction or not, but, you know, stuff like that does become a distraction.
Yeah, so these are games that I looked at, and I'm like, okay, these are potential upset alerts. Now let's look at the games that some people would like to think are upset alerts, but they're not. Utah goes to Colorado. Colorado, number 17 in the country, 7-2. I think they have a better chance of winning the Big 12 than BYU, arguably, at this point. Utah has lost 5 straight. They have a losing record. They just had a heartbreaking defeat at home against those same BYU Cougars. Now they go to Boulder, Colorado favored by 11. I think Colorado wins this game convincingly.
I'd go with Colorado.
Absolutely. And then we've got this one. I don't even know why we're still fooling ourselves here. Penn State goes to Purdue. All right. I heard talk about Purdue trying to upset Oregon. They lost 35-0. I heard talk about Purdue trying to upset Ohio State. They lost 45-0. Purdue is 1-8. Outside of Florida State, they're the worst team in the Power Four. Penn State goes on the road favored by 28.5. I can't believe I'm asking you this stupid question. Do you think Purdue has a chance to beat the Nittany Lions here in Ross-Ade Stadium?
No.
Thank you for your time, sir. all righty. And then this is one that I think could be an upset alert, perhaps. And I don't know why. I just get a vibe. Louisville goes to Stanford. Louisville is 6-3. They are ranked. Got that big win over Clemson recently. Stanford's 2-7. They're terrible. But they're at home. Louisville will be traveling a good ways. If not Stanford giving them a scare, I wouldn't be surprised if Stanford kept it within the 20.5 point spread. I don't know why, because Stanford's gotten maraudered in every game they've played for the most part. But I just have an inkling.
Well, I think that's the fact that Louisville's having to travel that great distance. And I don't care what anybody says.
That's always jarring.
That's always an effect, has an effect on those type teams. But I think they keep it within this point spread.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I could be totally wrong. I mean, I don't even want to commit to my own thought. It's just something that's whizzed past my brain a time or two, and we had some time to get on the soapbox over it. Tulane is ranked number 25. They go to 7-2 Navy. Is Tulane going to fall out of the rankings the moment they got in? They're favored by 7.
No, I think Tulane wins. I really like their coach. He's a young and coming football coach, and I think he'll have Tulane red to play.
I think he will too. All righty. Got 30 seconds here. Alabama Mercer, what's your score? Obviously, we got Alabama winning. What's your score?
55-17.
Wow. You've got them scoring more than I do. I've got Alabama winning 59-16, and that would be the most points put up on Bama by an FCS squad since the Citadel several years ago. I believe they put up 17. So we've got to be in a high-scoring game for Mercer. You've been listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantona.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.